the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, Dave shares some thoughts on thankfulness. The main reading is Psalm 136.
Psalm, and you can see how the two choirs, or the leader and the choir, with that echo, beautiful psalm. Again, I just want to pick up where we left off on Sunday, thankfulness. I did come across this one, which I hope you will bear with me. Old couple enters a cafe in Normandy, that's obviously in France, overlooking the beach. A couple are clearly tourists, quite elderly, and the couple sits down, and the waitress notices the man has one leg missing, and cues the waitress approaches and asks why. The woman answers, usually, as it usually is, isn't it? Stating the husband fought in the war not far from this beach, and he lost his leg, and most of his hearing went. The waitress disappeared. Next minute, she bought coffee pot, sandwiches, cakes, goodness, everything on the menu, really, I suppose. And the elderly woman's confused. So, wait a minute, she said, look, we can't afford this and we haven't ordered this. She said, look, I've spoken to the chef and the owner, and he said, we're so grateful for your service, and but this is free on the boss. Oh, the woman smiles and turns and whispers to, obviously talks to the husband so he can understand and lip read. And He smiles and up he stands. He goes, "Vielen Dank, das ist net von dir," which I thought was quite funny. But that's my sense of humour. But to be thankful, to be grateful, and what should we thank? But thankfulness is a dying art, isn't it? As the Bible said, it would be in the last days. Gratitude so clear and so important, even down through history. Even the great Romans, Cicero said, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. So interesting, isn't it? I quoted a bit of Shakespeare on Sunday as well. Our gratitude and being thankful, as we'll see, guides us and guards us, protects us, is a good indicator of our health as well, spiritual health. But ingratitude all around us, and we've got to be careful for ourselves, because the Bible says these are the root and fertile soil for sin and for idolatry. And that's where Adam and Eve went wrong. And Romans 1 tells us very clear, if we don't thank the Lord, we will put something else in its place, generally ourselves. But just to make sure we know where we're on good footing, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
What an amazing, amazing description. I mean, if it depends on how you count them, it's at least 20 there. Describing what the last days will be like. People are not, remember they say they're not irreligious, are they? But there's no reality, there's no intimacy, there's no relationship with God. But one of the signs is ingratitude, ungrateful. And we have a society today, everything is a right, isn't it? I've got a right to have that. Now, two generations ago, no. We weren't like that. I mean, it was obviously that Second World War generation where you helped and you served, and it was for God and country, and that kind of changed mentality. Now so even in today, as we were just talking earlier, 16-year-olds can vote. Well, I mean, at 16, I didn't know what I was didn't know what I was doing. 18, to be honest, I didn't know, you know, what I was. So we have this entitled attitude, and then ingratitude comes, and it comes from that. But the power of gratitude, the power of our words, just flesh out all those things that are of me. Now, again, remember, our words are so powerful. Because when the Lord is talking about why Israel didn't enter the promised land or their potential, let's read of those five things that he says that stopped them. 1 Corinthians 10.
For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. We were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to us, for setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel.
These things didn't please the Lord, so they did not enter the land. And he gives five things there. Lusting after evil. Remember, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them, wasn't it? The Bible says, in their heart, they turned back. And it's amazing when we don't see clearly, how we can see with rose-tinted spectacles, isn't it? Remember they said, oh, look, we had everything back there, didn't they? Oh, we had cucumbers and fish and all. And the Bible says, the Lord heard their groaning. They're groaning. But it's amazing how we can see things. Our minds get fuddled up sometimes if we don't clearly get God's word and are thinking straight. Lust after evil, idolatry, well, we know that is taking God's place, that which is worthy and deserves God's first place, something else takes it. Fornication, immorality, which usually comes after idolatry, because what happens is God is no longer God. I make my own God so I can do what I want. And we have, obviously, that, again, got to be careful in the church, tempting Christ, challenging him. Not with prayers and seeking, it's undermining his character. That's what they were doing, weren't they? Saying God couldn't actually do anything. That's what they were doing. They're undermining his power. Remember, they just seen what he'd done to Egypt, and they said, "Oh, look at this! We're going to water, and we haven't got this." And it goes that last one there to their murmuring, their grumbling, their muttering. Seeing stuff in a low tone, which was, again, not to God, about God. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference, isn't it? We have many of the prophets, the psalmists, mourning to God. Lord, I'm not happy with this situation. I don't like my lot. Why have you done this to me? But not mourning about God. And that's what happened. They murmured about God, and it came from a place of ingratitude. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they say, Lord, thank you? Moses had given him a song, hadn't he? Exodus 15, if you think. It was such a good song, they even played the tambourines. Perhaps that's what turned them up. No. And they praised the Lord, didn't they? He gave them a song to sing. And wonderful, when you have a song to sing, you don't forget it, do you? Don't forget songs. And if he give them the word, they say, oh, we can't remember. But he put it into a song. We sing it sometimes. It's part of it. Ascribe greatness to our God. That's one of the few verses there. Murmuring, grumbling will undermine the work of God, our thinking, our attitude. And of course, that's why we did that verse before. Philippians 2, verse 14. Do all things. Gives us no leeway. I'm not feeling so good. I'm not this. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Hallelujah. And now that's a tough one, isn't it? But that's what the Lord says. Why? Because he understands that our words are very powerful. Out of the overflow of the heart, you are what you speak, but you speak what you are as well. James tells us you can speak what you are. And the power of our words. And we just mentioned, just put it onto the tapes properly, we talked about the power of gratitude, power of thanksgiving, just in our physical health. They've looked at it, scientists, medical, they know it has a positive effect. Lowers blood pressure, lowers your stress, good for your blood pressure, and all those kind of things. If for people who are recovering after a surgery, to be thankful, it's all positive. It increases for those with depression. We read that stat on Sunday. If they write a letter of gratitude, I think it was 88%, wasn't it? Less chance of suicide and all those things. So why do we know that? Because we'll read in a minute, it's God's will. When it's God's will, it's for his glory and for our good. Always for his glory and our good. So when we are thankful, it's powerful in our physical, emotional, and obviously spiritually. We'll have a look at that in a moment. And so we see this refrain which we read a couple of times in Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? He is good and his mercy endures forever. Let's see where we found that first. Who do you expect that to come from? David, of course. David, man after God's own heart, knew how to be a worshiper, knew how to thank the Lord, knew how to praise the Lord. Wasn't perfect, as we said, but the heart was to repent and to get right with God and to worship him and adore him. 1 Chronicles 16, 8 to 9 and verse 34 then.
Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
See, thankfulness takes our focus off here and now onto him, doesn't it? Like praise. Takes our focus on, and what it does, it fleshes out self-pity, independence, pride. Why? Because we're realizing everything we have is God-given. Blessed of God. God's been good to us. Now, again, what's the devil? The devil wants us to keep quiet and to focus on the negative, to focus on the here and now. And sometimes the here and now is good and we can bless the Lord. Sometimes the here and now is not so good. You know, we could have illness, we could have ailments, we could have, you know, this, that, and the other. And it might. But the Bible says, now then, get your eyes on that which is eternal. Corinthians, he says, your momentary troubles are far outweighed by the eternal weight of glory that is ahead of us. So that's, he's always telling us to look to the Lord, obviously, and it fleshes out that self-pity. And we are pretty good at that, aren't we, some of us? Oh, you've never had it so bad, and you know, we don't know what my kids are like, don't know my wife is like, don't know what my work is like, I don't know what my neighbours like, and we can go on and on and on. But when we're thankful, count your blessings. Hallelujah. Say, God, you've been good to us. You've been pretty good to us. Hallelujah. Why do we, of course, we looked at this on Sunday, but here's some verses. Psalm 30, 10 to 13.
Yeah. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. The end, that my glory may sing praise to you, not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Amen. Again, the psalmist just called it, Lord, this is what I was. You turned my mourning into dancing, my despair into hope. Lord, that I was bound by sin, but now I'm released from sin. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you, and I give thanks to you forever. Gratitude, again, is a vital indicator, of course, for our soul health. Powerful defender of our soul's peace and joy, because, again, we're reminding ourselves of who we are in God. And also, it, as we'll look in a moment, it makes us less vulnerable to sin. Sin is the flesh lust, isn't it? I want that. James said, "I want that. You've got it. I'm taking it from you." Gratitude, you're thankful for what you have. Mm-hmm. Is the contentment. When you're content, you're thankful. When you're thankful, you become content. And it's something we discipline ourselves. Because by our own nature, we're ungrateful, aren't we? We're not thankful because we want more and we deserve more. And he got a new car next door. How come you got a new car? I haven't got a new car. How come I'm driving an old car and you got a new car? And so that's the world's thinking, isn't it? the world. We always look at somebody else. But thankfulness roots that out, guards us, and because we are thankful for what we got, sin, the devil can't come in and say, Dave, come on, look at that. Look at that. You could have that. You should have that. You deserve that. And when we are thankful, we say, Lord, thank you for what I've got. Thank you for being good to me. There are things I haven't got, but they're so insignificant, not important. I've got the most important thing, of course, is salvation of our souls. Well, the Bible is very clear, isn't it? So vital, so important to be thankful, to be praised. And it's etiquette. We want to know how to get into God's presence. Well, he tells us. He tells us. Thankfully, Psalm 100.
Shout for joy to the Lord, O the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Oh, that's a good one to put to mind, isn't it? Good. We'll be reading a bit of Jonah now, and remember, Jonah didn't have a Bible in his hand, did he? But he'd memorise God's word. What a great psalm to memorise! Lots of threes there, so it's good patterns. You can really. The Lord is good. The Lord is God, and we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks, bless his name, and he tells us why. Of course, he is good. His mercy endures forever, and he is faithful. Hallelujah. That's why we are thankful. And it's a great etiquette. And Psalm 95 picks it up as well just before. Come before him. Come, let us come before him with thanksgiving and joy. Let us come before him with shouts of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. The etiquette of coming before the presence in the presence of God. It's an amazing thing that we said on Sunday, that heaven is full of praise, thanksgiving, and song. Whether it's the elders, whether it's the angels, whether it's the great crowd, whether it's the four living creatures, full of thanksgiving, full of thank. He is worthy of our thanksgiving and praise. We read this. It's only one verse, but it's a good one to put to memory. Psalm 69, verse 30.
I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving.
Yeah, slightly different. It glorifies his name, but I magnify his name with thanksgiving. As we worship him, he is magnified and everything else is minified. I think it's a word, but it sounds good because we'll go for it. Everything else is... And again, we said magnification doesn't change actually the size of God, is it? It's only how we see him. Only how we see him. God can't get any bigger or greater or more magnificent, but we can see him greater. We can see his magnificence more and more. How do we do that? We thank him for all that he's done for us. Again, as we said, fleshes out all that is of me, all that the devil would have us divert to. Now, let's go realizing the power of thanksgiving, again, guides God's. But also, it's a powerful weapon in our armoury. We know that. We see Paul and Silas, don't we, in the prison. And they've been hammered. They have, you know, it isn't a prison like we got, is it? They're in stocks, they've been hammered. Now, they could have full well had a pity party and said, Lord, what is happening here? And I would have been there. Lord, come on, I'm serving you, I'm preaching the word, I'm being faithful to your word. How am I here? I mean, absolutely, yeah, you can imagine the agony. They've just been beaten, they're bloody, we know they hadn't been attended to because the jailer attends them after. So they just left there. But the Bible says at midnight, they didn't sleep in, what do? Praising, singing hymns, praying, bless the Lord. But what happens? The Lord turns up. He saves the jailer. He saves, I believe, all the prisoners, maybe. They didn't leave anyway, did they? When all the prison doors opened, they didn't run away. So the Lord did a mighty work out of the power of our thanksgiving. Now, here we have this great story, lovely story from our Sunday school days. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah.
And Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Yet I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even unto the soul. The depth closed me in round about, and the weeds were trapped around my head. Mm-hmm. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, to the earth where the vase was about me forever. And yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, all the Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and the prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. For I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited jump out upon the dry ground.
Oh, bless the Lord. Now, thankfully God gets us to a place where there's no one else to go. And now, remember Jonah here, as we said, he didn't have a Bible on him, did he? He didn't have Google to look up a verse. He had put the scriptures to memory. And we find, it's a good Bible study of all the verses. They say, I counted a few, at least 20 references to the Old Testament he had, mostly the Psalms, where he quoted God's word. He said, Lord, this is what's happening to me. I looked to it, but then in verse 9, I will sacrifice a thanksgiving offering to you. Oh, bless the Lord. What I vowed, I will make sure salvation is of you, Lord. So it's out of the plea, out of his returning thanksgiving him. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. That you will give me a second chance, third chance. But out of that thanksgiving, what happened? Release from the whale. Bless the Lord. Out he came. Probably quite bleached by the sound of things, they tell us. But full of revelation, full of the Lord. And out he went and did his work, did his job. Great sermon he had. Only one sermon. In 40 days, he's going to be blown to smithereens. What about that? That's a good message, isn't it? Not even any hope of reprieve, was it? He said, 40 days and that's it. And but thankfully the Lord is merciful, unlike us and unlike Jonah. He wasn't very merciful. Pretty happy, I think, by the sound of it, his message, wasn't he? He was quite happy. But the sacrifice, and it is a sacrifice sometimes, because again, our natural self is toward ingratitude. We don't want to thank the Lord because we love to look at the negative. But it is a sacrifice sometimes, and that's why it is a part of the offering, part of the sacrificial offering in the Old Testament and the New. The five New Testament sacrifices, praise is one of them. Psalm 116:16-17, the Psalms understood.
Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thanks offering today and call on the name of the Lord.
I will sacrifice a thank offering to you, even when it's difficult, against the grain. I remember the story of Corrie ten Boom when they were in the concentration camp, and they were in a particular hut and they had an infestation of lice. Remember that one? And everything else and lice. Her sister, who sadly later died in the camp, said to her, now, Corrie, give thanks in all circumstances. And Corrie thought, but the wonderful thing is, because of that infestation of lice, the guards would go nowhere near that hut. And because they weren't allowed, our Bible says they weren't allowed to worship, weren't allowed to sing to the Lord, but because the guards wouldn't come anywhere near, they had the opportunity to minister, out of opportunity to share the Bible with all those people in there. Isn't that amazing? Out of things we think, oh, how can this be any good? I mean, in a horrible place that it is, let alone a lice infestation, yet God was using it to get the word out. And even his sister could see it. She said, but I couldn't. But she saw it because it was an opportunity. And without anyone bothering them or interfering with them, it is a sacrifice sometimes, absolutely. But the power, it's interesting. I checked this up as well. Obviously, Charles Wesley wrote many, 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 many hymns. John Wesley was the one who put the hymn book together, Old Method, which is originally, well, and the later ones were pretty good, actually, very good. But he would put, what I think the first hymn he put in, and I checked, I got an old one in the house, 1900 one. First hymn that he put in the hymn book, the Methodist hymn book, from 1780, was the same today, well, I don't know about today, but up until fairly recently, Oh for a Thousand Tongues, hallelujah, to sing my great Redeemer's praise. He understood the power of thanksgiving and the power of praise. Well, again, thankfully, it isn't just God's injunction, it's God's will for our lives. Thankfully, when God says it's the will of God, then we know, again, as we said, his glory, our benefit, our good. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
There we are. So that's it, isn't it? It's God's will. End of. Rejoice always, pray unceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Now that's a level of faith, but here we come now to a level of increased faith, because he's not just giving thanks in all circumstances. Now he's saying in Ephesians, gives thanks for all circumstances. Now that's a different kettle of fish. And that, you've got to really get on your knees for that. And get remember Paul said, I've learnt to be content. It's something he learnt, didn't he? He went through all the difficulties and he got to that place where he said, now I rejoice in all the things that are coming my way, all the difficulty. I rejoice in that because I know when I'm weak, he's strong, and the actual focus is off me onto him. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5.
And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Again, see that the pattern, everything's interlinked, isn't it? With the Lord, with his word. Be filled with the Spirit. And out of that comes, such a dramatic change in our and out of our mouths. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Gratitude to the Lord with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Why? Because, again, we don't deserve to be filled with him. We don't deserve anything from him. But when we just, again, are just filled with it, with him, and filled with his greatness and his goodness, we just overflow with thanksgiving. And always in all things. Now, that can only be done when we're filled with the Spirit, let me tell you. Because we will all go through difficulties. We will all go through difficulties. We all go through situations we can't understand, we're not happy with. We prayed for certain things and they haven't turned up the way that we think they should turn. Maybe because we haven't pressed in sometimes. That's another different thing. But give thanks. Give thanks. And it's just something that's good to have a day where you don't pray for anything, but you just thank God that he's done what you've been praying for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for touching so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, for meeting that person. Thank you, Lord, for saving that person. Hallelujah. Sometimes we... Because that, again, engenders faith. Because we know God, we know God's answering, and he's answered. How he answers is up to him. But we're thanking him. We're putting that into place. Instead of being, again, that roots out that mentality of God, you should be doing this for me. No, he doesn't have to do anything for us. But he does bless us, and he gives more than we ever. But to be thankful, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Even if you don't do anything, I give you praise, give you thanks. Well, again, right through the whole, the New Testament, Old Testament, thankfulness to God. Of course, we looked at the Lord as our example on Sunday morning, how we give thanks for all those things for his provision, the protection, the power of God, the presence of God, hallelujah, his very propitiation, the very fact that the breaking of bread, where he knew what was ahead of him, the first thing he did, he gave thanks. Lord, I give you thanks, hallelujah, for what I'm about to do. Oh, to achieve all that that was there for him, for the joy set before him, hallelujah, sent forth, and scorning the shame, bless him. Hebrews 12. Colossians 3, 12 to 17.
Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Again, it crops up in Colossians many times. Gratitude, thankful, full of thanks, overflowing thankfulness. Of course, four there, be watchful, be devoted to prayer, be watchful, and be thankful. Again, that guarding us, guiding us, protecting us from wandering and being diverted, full of thankfulness. And again, that power of letting the word of God have his way, really a parallel to what we just read in Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude. That sort of mirror of God's, full of God's word, full of God's spirit, and he applies the word, and out comes wonderful salvation, wonderful words from God, wonderful words of God, and gratitude, of course. Philippians 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
See, again, they could look at Paul, as they could look at Jesus, as we mentioned Daniel as well, they could see these people were people who knew their God, intimacy with God, because of their thankfulness. God had done some amazing things. And we see Paul through his life, and we just mentioned a few on Sunday morning, when he was shipwrecked, or just a bit before shipwreck, right? Eat! And the Bible says he gave thanks. Just that simple act of thankfulness. And maybe we've forgotten how to even do that sometimes in the house, in our houses sometimes, saying grace, saying thanks. Just a simple thing, just acknowledging God. That's powerful. And of course, the gratitude confirms relationship, shows relationship, and really is the foundation of, as we said, prayer. 1 Timothy 2 says, we request your prayers, your thanksgiving be made known to the Lord, isn't it? Pray for those in leadership. Colossians also says this: so then, just as you received Christ Jesus Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Remember that's a product of being in him, but also the power of thankfulness to keep us in him as well. So there's that two-way power of thanksgiving out of our relationship, and we are thankful. Dear me, Lord, you saved me. Wonderful. I'm your child and your son and daughter. And the more we thank the Lord for that, the more we realize who we are, the more we realize we'll be rooted and grounded in him. Power of thankfulness. Power of thankfulness. Well, on all those things, ultimately, it's the will of God, power of God, what it releases in our lives, what it does in our lives. And the psalmist has his last word, Psalm 92, 1 and 2.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night.
It is a good thing. It pleases the Lord. If it pleases the Lord, it does us a world of good as well, of course. And we understand that. Just on the natural level, they're finding that out. But certainly spiritually, it is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. And again, he tells us what he thanks the Lord for. In the morning, he thanks the Lord for his faithful love that he's just about to receive through the day. That word hesed it is. That faithful, stubborn, relentless love, committed covenant love of the Lord. And of course, what does he thank the Lord at the end of the day? Faithfulness. Lord, you've been faithful today. Oh, bless the Lord. Been faithful. You've kept us today. Now, we've had a good day or bad day, depending on how you see it, but you've been faithful. So he said, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, that we would be a thankful people, a blessed people, even for those difficult things. A minister saying, when they had a in Mozambique, they had a flood. Biggest flood in 50 years, and 100,000 people had to move out, and I don't know how many were trapped, as we saw the other day. Thousands in trees, and they were there for at least 2 days in the tree. So he said, "But we're trapped." I preached to people, tried to keep them awake. They might have slept. And he said, you know, just hanging on, knowing full well if we fell into the water, we'd be gone. And when they were eventually rescued, he said, you know what? I want to thank God for mosquitoes. Mm. He said, what do you mean? He said, because they prevented me from falling asleep and falling into that water, he said. I would have simply been swept away. You see, it's how we see things, isn't it? How we see things. We can see things in that negative light, but if it wasn't for the mosquitoes, maybe biting him as well, he would have died. He would have died. Thankfulness in all things. So, and thankfulness for each other, isn't it? Bless the Lord. Be grateful for one another. Thankful the Lord's good to us, even those that are difficult sometimes. Good. Thank you, Lord, for those difficult people. Remind me, I won't be so difficult next time. Amen. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.